You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live.
Geek Nerd Tech. Featuring a weekly roundup of tech news and gossip.
Black Hollywood Live. Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live,
Geek Nerd Tech.
Yo, check.
Yo.
Working good. Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech, the show we break down nerd tech news, nerd culture from a black and brown geek perspective.
My goodness.
Is that right?
Doggos?
Week 75. I didn't actually read that and look at it. My name's Joe Braswell. Thank you for joining us. As always, I'm joined by my man, Akili Shine.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm excited about the summer, man, and the summer heat, and just
yes.
And all the things that, you know, we do in the summertime, brother.
Festivals. Barbecues. I don't know what else. Comic-Cons.
Nah, you know, well, I usually go on vacation in the summer, so I usually do something like that, so I'm excited about, you know, yeah.
I usually go to Tahoe. Actually, I want you to come to Tahoe this year.
I just came from Tahoe.
Oh, that's right.
Last weekend.
Is that what you did, the jump?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where'd you go in Tahoe?
I was in Lake Tahoe, but the jump was actually the American River. So
oh, wow.
We drove 2 hours down to the American River and did some whitewater rafting.
I want you to come to Tahoe with me this summer because we're getting the house. Alexis, how are you?
Uh-oh. I'm awesome.
There you are.
Awesome.
I can hear you now.
I'm also looking forward to summer because that means hopefully more beach time for Alexis because I'm feeling kind of pale.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
I feel that.
And
yes.
Also, it's roller coaster season, so
yeah,
theme parks are
Magic
going to be
Mountain,
happening.
Baby. Magic yep. Mountain. Twisted Colossus looks like the lick.
Oh, man. I got to, because I used to work there,
uh-oh.
I got to go for media day.
Hook up alert.
And
hook up, brother. Hook up alert.
For media day, and I went, and it was, it is... It's slow at first, but as soon as those twists start to happen, it's out of this world.
Hashtag the truth. Well, the video
it's
looking amazing from the car when you're looking in one car perspective and one of them flies on top of you.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
It looks insane.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, you know, I was old enough to remember when Colossus opened back in the 70s. And I remember it very vividly, and that's one of my all-time favorite coasters.
Yeah.
And so when they said it was closing, they made a big production about it's closing down, Colossus is closing down, and I was all upset about it. But I know they're going to make Twisted Colossus.
Yeah, they were. The reason why was because the fact that it is kind of old, it's kind of rickety, it breaks down a lot. Because I worked
in 78?
At that. Yeah.
No, built in 77.
No, 70. Six. No, I think it was 76.
Wow. 76.
Yeah. And actually, funny story to my awesome friend Jody, who also is a roller coaster enthusiast and actually tests coasters as her job. She actually renewed her vows on Colossus before it broke down.
Wow.
Her 50th wedding anniversary with her husband.
Wow. That's
yeah.
nice.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to ride Colossus before it closed down, and then it was already closed, and I was
yeah.
upset about it.
It's yeah. more like because they had to rebuild everything, take all the wood out. I mean, not all of it, but they had to make it a little stronger because I had to walk those to do safety checks. It is
right.
the rickiest thing.
Wow, that's wild.
I had to walk on. It was crazy.
All right. Well, never mind.
What? Akili, what's he doing? Did he have a stroke? What's happening?
I think you might be right in your
assessment. I was going to crack a really bad joke, but I didn't want to do it.
Aww.
Was it a wood joke?
It was about Akili taking the wood out. Something we all hate. We all hate to take the wood out.
Wow.
What is happening?
I don't know.
My goodness. Colossus.
A Colossus. Yeah, that's also what my nickname is, Colossus as well.
Oh,
let's get to some
word.
Tech news.
Friday. Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Well, that's cool. Well, I'm looking very much forward to that anyway.
Yes.
And I will be seeing you about my my hookup and whatever.
Yes, I will help you out.
Thank you very much. Amazon. We talk a lot about Amazon over the years, and over the course of this show, it's always something. Drones,
hey man,
Amazon Fresh, like something's coming up with Amazon. But now, Amazon is doing is launching Amazon Elements, which
yeah.
is like a grocery line where they have their own line of groceries, which is essentially they're getting into the grocery line, getting into the grocery business.
Yeah, right. I mean, groceries, clean, from anything from medicinal products to cleaning products to all of that stuff. So I think
yes, I have it on.
Alexis, your mic is on. I mean, all of that I think is really dope. I mean, you got to think like a brand like Target has their own products. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And I use it as a way to create more supply and then more demand on the Amazon channel. So right. I think that's pretty cool how they're manipulating that. Like, we're gonna create our own stuff, and if you guys want to sell your product through our channel, well, you got to give us a better rate. We got to get more money off us selling your product because we have our own product.
Right.
That's hella smart. You know what I'm saying?
It's very much the Walmart model and some other folks who do this. And I think that, like, we talk about all these different tricks people are doing to keep you on the site. Like, we talk about the buy now button and other things that you, like, once you're there, we don't want you leaving at all. The notion of once you're there and you're not leaving, and then also what you buy belongs to us, is really sort of a game changer. I mean, I don't know what to make of this.
I mean, duh, you got to think Amazon is huge. It's in terms of internet search, it's just the fourth site, mm-hmm. fourth internet search site, the top site. Right. Like, it's over 200 million uniques a month.
That's crazy.
A day.
That's crazy.
Like they're killing. So like to be able to have the foresight to be able to say, hey, we're already killing it in terms of, you know, selling stuff. Why don't we create our own stuff to sell?
Well, that's what you do, right? Like, so you sit there, you're like, okay, we have this ridiculous amount of uniques, and with that, we've spent all the time growing this business. Everybody who's in the business of tech, it's all about growing those uniques or growing those users or growing those things. And once you grow that user base, then it's like, okay, now what do we do with this? What can we do?
Exactly.
And there's only a handful of people like the Googles and Amazons and Facebooks that can say, okay, now that we're here at billion in the bees, you know, what do we do with this power? And it's, you know, I mean, groceries next, groceries first, who knows the next?
And not just that, you got to think that most people are still not shopping online. Like, there's just more people still offline. So they're thinking forward. Like, I mean, as Facebooks and the Googles of the world, you know, create the buy buttons that you just referred to, there's going to be more of a temptation to buy stuff online. And so they're thinking of the first basket sale.
Right.
They're talking to the guy that's never bought anything online. Like, hey, making it more attractive for that guy. So I think that's the move.
Right. Okay. Well, speaking of moves and buy buttons, Instagram now is really finally launched their ad, how they're going to sell and target folks with ads. I mean, Instagram, the user base on Instagram is incredible as well. Facebook snapped them up, as we know. Now they're doing the shop now / buy now buttons and some other things.
Yeah, shop now, book now, download, learn more, sign up, all these options. I mean, I think this is great. This is gonna be a killer on Instagram.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, it'll be a killer if it works for boutique brands. It'll be a bad
move. My sister's brand.
Precisely.
Like my sister would.
She'll kill if she had that. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if it's not attractive to like boutique brands, and if it's just for like the major corporations.
StudioMucci.com. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, shout it out.
Good.
Like, also, I'll say how it's targeted, like how they target the ads. Like, if you're getting ads that you don't care about, that's going to be a turnoff. So I think they have to be very smart in terms of how they do it. And if they're using the Facebook algorithms to do that, then I think it's going to be a smasher for everybody.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, Instagram is its own beast, and it's a photo sharing, interesting photo sharing site, but like you said, they've been thinking about a long, they've been trying to figure out how to inject the ad piece into it, and you add in that Facebook backend, the Facebook algorithm backend into what Instagram's doing already.
Yeah,
that's going to be really powerful.
You got to think for most boutique brands, like Instagram is their main like marketing tool.
Right.
It's their main it's their main broadcasting tool for their products. So to be able to harness that and make it so seamless that, you know, you look at a photo that, hey, this is a dope photo, I like this product, and now you could just click a button and boom, you're right there to buy it. Man,
it's great. And you don't worry about sort of this sort of pricing out the boutique guys, right?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, you don't worry about I'm asking you. Do you worry about sort of like people like my sister's business? You know, finally they can come to the table, but then in comes, you know, Urban Outfitters, and they just roar. You know, I mean, what do you think of that?
I mean, we'll just use Amina as a case study. Like, she has what, almost 70,000 followers, and she drops a new product, and they all, let's say 50% of them see the post consistently. Say she gets 10% of that 50%, that's going to boost her sales. So, in terms of an Urban Outfitters doing that, okay.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
But for her, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. Well, I'll definitely keep my eye on that. I just, you know, Instagram, man. their Chris Sacca, who's a famous VC, internet investor, young guy here who's invested, who's first guy into a lot of places. He turned down Instagram, and one of these things he talks about all the time as a mistake he is because people came to him with Instagram, and they were like, the young guys are like, dude, like photo sharing, it's not, you know, there's already, I don't see how you're going to beat Flickr is already killing the game. How are you going to beat Flickr? This is silly. I pass. And he's like kicking himself to this day. Just goes to show you, like, sort of like, you know, take an idea that you think is, you know, like photo sharing. Like, it doesn't matter what the idea is. It's all about the application of the idea. Of course. I'm bringing all that up to say is that, like, it's really taken this long to figure out the application of this in terms of ads.
Right.
And this is just a whole new world for something that's already amazing. So we'll see.
Right. It's going to kill, bro. Yeah. I'm excited about this for smaller brands.
I agree. So Oculus Rift and all this virtual reality stuff, you know, Facebook bought Oculus Rift a while ago, and there's all this fuss over it. There's this move to try to figure out, again, how they're going to get brands involved in this technology, and there's always this talk of, like, brands will be able to have these immersive commercials, and so they've been trying that. I mean, you know, yeah. Mountain Dew's done a thing. I think Volkswagen?
Yeah, it's Volvo.
Volvo mm-hmm. did a thing at South by Southwest where you can actually, you know, get in and ride around Volvo.
Yeah.
But they're saying it's not necessarily right now that the cost curve and the production curve and who you're hitting are not matching up because A, not many people have Oculus Rift. B, or a virtual reality technology. B, these videos are costing upwards of $1 million plus to make.
Yeah, they're more expensive than, you know, a traditional TV commercial.
Yeah, and your reach is, like, very limited. So what do you think of this? The future of this?
I definitely think it's the future. Now, it's early. Just like we were talking about 4K televisions and no one had them and there's no content for them. And yeah, we're going to see more content. Overall, it'll evolve. People become more adapt to it, and it'll be, like, more common than not. So I feel the same with this. Like, I feel intense. 10 years, the VR industry will be a $1 billion industry. Right now, it's a $1 million industry. I mean, give it some time. You already have four major players. You have, like you said, you have Oculus Rift owned by Facebook. You have Morpheus owned by Sony.
Yep.
You have the Samsung joint.
Right.
And you have the HTC joint. Those are the four major players.
Right.
Like, I mean, as Moore's Law, like every 2 years, the processors become smaller and faster and cheaper, so they'll be able to have them faster, and obviously the price point will come down. People will be able to buy them. There'll be more content, more applications for the content, not just commercials, but movies, concerts, all of it. So, I mean, that's going to explode the industry.
Sure.
So
it's good news for content creators like us,
man,
and also good news for, you know, people who want to buy stuff.
Yeah,
and sell stuff. Speaking of buying and selling stuff, Bud Light. Speaking of, like, just an amazing way to use a technology to sell ads, I mean, Snapchat, in a very, very short time, has done a lot to figure out their content delivery system. I'm actually, you know, Instagram's fantastic. You can't fade Instagram. It is what it is. But Snapchat, in a very, very short time, has really done what they're doing with the content side with their, what's it called, where you go to CNN.
The Discover
stuff, I think, is really cool. I check out these sponsored ads on Snapchat all the time. I'm a sucker, but all the, Austin and Australia, I check those out all the time just because I don't know why.
Right.
So they're testing out, Bud Light's going to be the first person to test out an age-gated ads, which is an alcohol brand doing this at Snapchat.
And right.
Now, Bud Light did this, they have this giant Up for Whatever campaign, which has gotten them in some trouble.
Yeah.
You know, they're up for whatever. It's just sort of like kind of whatever. And then, in fact, they had on the bottle of one, it was like, this drink may cause you to make bad decisions or something like that. Yeah, it was
that's a terrible marketing.
Yeah, anyway. But they kind of got a hold of that, but they're still doing the Up for Whatever thing, and it's really working for them in terms of, like, you know, college kids and frat guys. So they're doing this big experiential thing. They did this giant one over in Catalina Island. They've done cruises. They've done all this stuff. But the Catalina Island one was really massive, and the idea, it's perfect for Snapchat to be able to have all these people be able to show what they're doing, and then have Bud Light pay for it, and then have it on Snapchat. It seems like a win-win, right?
Man, totally. Well, we were just having this conversation offline, just in terms of the acceleration, in terms of how Snapchat has become such a major player. And you got to think, you know, rewind a few years back when Facebook came to Snapchat, was like, yo, we want to grab you for $2 billion. And he was like, nah, I'm good.
You were the dummy.
Yeah. And so it goes back to the adage of, you know, you pass up the slow nickel for the fast, you pass up the fast nickel for the slow dime.
Right.
And so that's what he's done with this company. And I feel like he's in a great position because he's targeting the people that have money and will have money as they grow into their 20s, mid-20s, and 30s.
Right.
And so, I mean, dog, like, there's 200 billion, I think there's 200 billion views per day on Snapchat.
That's crazy.
Like, think about how many eyeballs and time invested into this one app, and then present that to an advertiser. Like, hey, you can have all these impressions to sell your product through. And, you know, it's only going to cost you maybe a couple million a day.
Right.
Like, dog, that's crazy.
The most interesting stat for me about the Snapchat is, you know, when Snapchat dropped, it was like, it's going to kill Instagram. And Instagram is still giant and still growing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Snapchat is still growing alongside of it. Same thing with, you know, with Periscope and Periscope Meerkat, Periscope specifically. It's like, it's going to kill Snapchat. I don't think, you know, Periscope is growing and Snapchat's still growing. So it just shows that, like, you can introduce people, you know, kids, people, everyone. Like, I have them all. I check them all. I don't know if that means. I don't know if that means for our time and, you know, consuming what we're you know.
I think it's the best channel for you. Like, and Snapchat is for a younger generation.
Like
it's,
me.
It's speaking to the younger crowd, and right. I think that was his point. And I keep saying I forget his name, but the creator. Yeah. That was his point. Like,
his name is Freddie Snap.
He wants to speak to the younger generation. And I heard someone say, like, Snapchat has the potential to be this generation's MTV or even this generation's Viacom. It's that big of a behemoth. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I got nothing. I'm not mad at these guys at all.
I just want 1%.
1%. I think a half a percent of what's cracking on Snapchat. Okay. Next, we have... the bionic ears that can control a live experience. Now, I don't know about this one. I mean, I'm an avid live show viewer, and I was at Coachella, and I'm like, you know, I love going to live music. The idea, so this is an app that actually you put your earphones in, and then it takes in what you hear, and you can actually have an EQ on your phone to be able to control your experience. Is that what I'm reading right?
That's exactly it. It's an EQ app that you could control the different frequencies if you wanted to take out frequencies because of maybe noise pollution, or if there was a certain sound that you wanted to reduce or you wanted to, you know, increase, then you had the flexibility and power to do that from your phone. So, yeah, maybe for the purist or the super nerd, this is awesome.
Now, let me take down the highs of this Alabama shakes on the bass. I mean,
exactly. The hi-hat is a little too crisp.
Oh, okay. Good job up there, but you can probably use a little less.
Your kick drum isn't thumpy enough.
No, I mean, this is my problem. I don't know. The average consumer user is not like putting ear. Like, how about you just open your ears and enjoy the concert?
Thank you.
Like, oh, Foo Fighters are on. Let me put in my earbuds and let me check out the.
The background vocals are a little too high.
No, I don't. So, I mean, I guess this is something. I mean, I get it. I get it. And I like the idea that, you know, Hans Zimmer and Quincy Jones are like, you know, are investors. They're investors. There's also. So I get it, but. I don't know. Alexis, are you using this thing?
No, I'm not saying that I was going to use it, but because the one thing, when I saw this topic, the first thing I thought of is I know a lot of friends of mine that went to college in the East Coast. Apparently there's these things called, I can't remember what the title is, but they're these raves that you go to, but the music is, you get an invitation and it comes with a playlist and it's on your phone. You download it and you go to this venue and you put headphones on. And then you play the music, and that's it. And then you just dance. So when you walk into this room, it looks crazy because all these people have headphones and they're just kind of dancing around, but there's no music playing outside.
That's interesting.
So apparently that's like a big thing in the East Coast and maybe like the Midwest. I don't know if they have any here in the West Coast and in LA specifically, but I can see people doing that so that they can change up the frequencies and, you know, really feel the music that way. That's the first thing I crossed.
That frequency had me on one, man.
Hey, man, I'm just saying the fact that people like pay and do these kind of mysterious raves, I feel like they would use this technology and they could actually pick to that demographic and they could make money off of that.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, but also the idea of like sort of outfitting everyone with this sort of this app. I mean, the app is one thing, but I'm sure the earbuds are not cheap.
No, I can imagine that it's
so,
probably going to be really
expensive. I don't know. And I don't look that up. That's interesting.
It's very interesting.
The light show, because it had, you know, half of the experience of these EDM shows of the lights.
It's literally the same thing, except there's no music playing in the room.
Wow.
Everything is through earbuds, so it just looks weird because all you hear is like heavy breathing and people dancing. It's so weird.
Sweating and dancing.
Yeah, it's so strange when you walk in and you don't know what's going on. It's just and like it's just weird.
Wow, that's funny. Okay, well I want to check one of those out next time I'm on the East Coast.
I'm just interested in what this product, like, who are they like targeting? Like, who is this guy that wants to buy this? What does he look like? What does he do? Interested in?
This is my thing. It's an audio file, you know? It's an audio file because I have a hard time with you selling the average user that this is going to make your live going experience better. Like, I have a really hard time with you.
I don't know about
like
that.
Like, that's a tough sell. And then, not to mention, like, how many, you have to be going to a lot of shows. Like, it's festival season. If you're out there and going to a lot of shows, let's just say I'm going to, like me, I love festivals. Let's say I go to, like, all 15, 20 festivals that are in the thing. Like, I'm still not buying this thing.
Well, I mean, it's, the application is not just for live performance. Okay. It's for any type of sound.
Okay.
It could be
okay.
anything. It could be, I mean, the example they gave in the article, it could be you're on a plane and you hear a baby. I don't want to hear that baby on the plane. Zip, zip, zip. I'm zenned out now.
Yeah. Like, or like, you know, New York City construction, but a jackhammer. Let me put in the bionic ears.
That's crazy.
I mean, maybe.
That's kind of weird, though.
I would love to demo this.
A teenage kid puts them in. I don't want to hear my parents.
No, yeah, that's the first thing I thought of. It's like, all right, now turn mom down just a little bit. So, I don't know. I feel like that's for someone who's, like, super sensitive and kind of grumpy about, like, noise in general. Right. And they're just like, I'm going to tune out the world. I'm like, you can do that on your own, grumpy.
It's only a cool $249, so.
Jeez.
That sounds like it's very accessible.
It's a branded hearing aid.
To the kids. All right. So,
branded hearing aid.
Moving on. It's been a while since the internet's been broken. And this week, the internet was broken again with the debut of Caitlyn Jenner. Well, the Vanity Fair sort of leaked, you know, not leaked because they put out their cover, which hit stands, I think, yesterday or day before yesterday. I got mine yesterday, I think. But like, but of course, a week before that, they sort of put out their pictures and the website put out the pictures, and it was just all over the place. I mean, it was the biggest day in Vanity Fair's site's history with over 9 million uniques from Vanity Fair is really incredible. And the internet was broken. What do you got?
I mean, my take is, I mean, it speaks to where we are as a society. I think it's you know, the emotional impact of it, the social, the shock and awe of it. Like, I mean, it's so shocking that you want to see it. You want to be a part of it.
Because transgender thing, you know, this happens all day, every day. There's many high profile people who've done it.
Right.
There's a show on Amazon that's really great. Not the name of it, but Transparent. And you know, I mean, this is out. You know, Orange is the New Black has a trans person in it. So I mean, like this is not new, but it's just the fact that it's Bruce Jenner, is it the Kardashian connection? Is it all the above?
I mean, it's all the above. It's the shock and awe of all of that. People want to flock and follow anything that has, you know, that has some celebrity attachment to it. I feel like, you know, we live in a society where we have this zoo circus mentality. We want to see the newest, freshest, or most intriguing act. Mm-hmm. I see it as kind of like a groundswell of that. Like in terms of people saying, "I'm going to follow you on Twitter." Like, were you following him before? Like, no. I mean, like, what are you following him for? Like, I think, are you following him for intelligence and for facts or for information, or are you following it just to be following?
Yeah,
and I feel that's what it is. You know what I'm saying?
And you know, and that stat which is you know, often this is also a very Kardashian-like stat because she's done a lot of these. But like, you know, Caitlyn Jenner Twitter account was the fastest person ever to reach 1 million followers, and Obama's account was the fastest person before that. Now, she dropped her account and it was hit 1 million.
And to that point, like she knows what she's doing in terms of it being like a media frenzy. Like, and she's gonna pivot that in terms of making some capital.
Well, she has a reality show coming, so like, you know, and so that's
a documentary.
And a documentary,
as well.
So that's and you know, obviously that show is highly rated. Go ahead.
No, I feel like I'm super happy for her and everything that, you know, that Bruce/Caitlyn has accomplished with this Vanity Fair, and I think she looks fantastic. Good for her, but at the same time, I feel like the shock and awe that a lot of people are seeing is because we saw this athletic man who was on a Wheaties box, who's just like kind of not like the symbol of being like a man's man, but you know, he was very athletic. So going from that to saying that he that he actually feels like a she and then goes through this giant transformation. I feel like that's what's... And the fact that he was associated with the Kardashians, I think that was just a giant explosion of just, you know...
Yeah, it's definitely a perfect storm with the Kardashian crossover and the and not just the Kardashians, the Jenners. Yeah. I mean, no, Kylie and Kylie, what's the other one's name? Kylie and Kendall.
Oh, Kendall.
Kylie and Kendall are actually blowing up themselves, very large. So, I mean, yeah, Kylie, Kendall, and Caitlyn. There you go. All right, let's move on to Yahoo. I was telling Nikhili offline, like, Yahoo is making some moves in general in the entertainment space. I mean, they're making a real push. Melissa Myers has been sort of like really, you know, controversial as a CEO, but like she's really doing some moves in the entertainment space and spent a lot of money on original programming and content development and a lot of money in sort of making Yahoo as notable as Netflix and Amazon are trying to, they want to be in that streaming space. But now they've signed this giant deal with the NFL, which is really kind of cool.
This is super cool, man. I mean, you think we just did a job for Tecate for the Mayweather Pacquiao fight, and they spent, you know, close to $40 million on it. Mm-hmm. Yahoo reportedly spent $20 million just to stream this one game. Right. That's crazy. That's amazing.
That's ridiculous.
But I mean, you got to think like how expensive sports are and the NFL is, and like taking it now a domestic brand and trying to brand it internationally. I think it's going to be a huge thing for the NFL and for Yahoo to be. I mean, because people are interested in football outside of America, and I think to be able to provide fans with the different platforms to interact with their favorite sport, I think is very smart. Because most times when you're watching a game, you're not just watching it on your television. You usually have your tablet and your smartphone. You're looking at facts. You're engaging, and so I think that's what Yahoo is trying to pivot and bring to the forefront. Like, hey, we're going to have all these eyeballs, some new, some old, and we're going to be able to sell ads off of it. And it'll be a great partnership with the NFL. And if it works, like, it's going to kill cable. It's going to kill it. Because, I mean, the only reason why people haven't totally cut the cord is because of sports.
Yep.
Or because of live events.
Live events, you know, but primarily sports. And if they can figure out a way, if they can crack the code on streaming, you know, it takes two to tango. I mean, NFL, NBA, and MLB will have to sort of be on board with this, and NHL.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, we'll have to be on board with this as well. But, like, you know, I don't know. You know, we'll see how this plays out. But go ahead.
I'll say, and from the NFL side, I'm just surprised that they haven't used this expansion strategy before. Like, I mean, you look at the NBA; they're all over the world, every continent.
NBA is all over the world.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, I mean, NFL tries to do like a game. Well, first of all, you understand that the NFL had a failed, gigantically, colossally failed in the World League. Like they bought the World League and tried to use that as some sort of farm, like some sort of like beating a B League, or if you will, or AAA for the NFL.
Right.
So whatever, the Barcelona Dragons and all those teams, like the NFL were subsidizing that and was losing money, and so they just shut all that down, NFL World. And so then, but then also they've been trying, like they'll have every year they have a game in the UK.
Right.
Every year they'll have a game. And so,
but they usually have the preseason game. This is a regular season game. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And not just that, I think a big reason why the expansion isn't the same compared to basketball is because with basketball, all you need is a basketball. With football, you need all this other shit.
Stadium.
You know what I'm saying?
And also, it's just played. I mean, for an NFL game, you're used to selling out or close to selling out anywhere from 65,000 to 95,000 people.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big
triple,
ask.
Triple, right, of basketball.
That's a big ask. Right. Like, in basketball, you're selling anywhere from 11,000 to 27,000. Right. So, I mean, it's a big ask. So, we'll see. I don't know. I do want to move on to Cameron Coe's film, Aloha, which I have not seen. I was really excited about it. I really wanted it to be good.
I've heard terrible things about it.
I know. It's getting really bad reviews, but, like, across the board. But, I Cameron Crowe, obviously, you know, Singles and Jerry Maguire and some other stuff. Like, I'm really, you know, Fast on from a High. I was really rooting for my man to make a strong comeback. It looked kind of good. The trailer looked good. Bradley Cooper, everybody else, Baldwin. But the reviews are down. But that's not the real issue here. The issue is that he's cast Emma Stone as a Asian in this movie. You know, and I mean, her name is Allison Ng, and in you know, she's part Asian, part Hawaiian, and Emma Stone is all white. Last time I checked,
Nice.
No, it's tricky. This is a tricky thing because we talked about this last week about you know casting and recasting the minority people in traditionally white roles. Then we talked about, I said I don't like the reverse. I don't like to see the white Tiger Lily or recasting traditionally Native American or Asian roles as black people or as white people. This is an interesting thing because this is his character. Like, he created the character, he wrote the character. This is his thing. But as he decided to cast it, he cast Emma Stone. Now, on one side, that's his prerogative. On the other side, why write her as a I don't know. What do you think of this whole kerfuffle?
I have a number of takes. I think kerfuffle. I feel like obviously we've talked in depth on this show about the long history of racism. In popular culture, specifically cinema, and you look at how black people have been portrayed in media. You look at how indigenous peoples of this country have been portrayed in film, cowboy Indian movies. Like a long history of just devaluing and destroying culture, or not representing culture in its proper context. And so, hey, Hawaiians are very proud of their culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the island is made up of almost 70%. Non-white people.
Yeah.
So, why is the movie portraying it like the island is made up of 100% white people?
Yeah.
I think we live in a time where what we see, what content we engage with, should be more representative of what's real.
Right.
Like, this is not reality. Like, yeah. And so, I think from a native's perspective, from a person that's indigenous to that island, this movie doesn't represent my culture.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a movie about Hawaiian culture. Yeah. She's not Hawaiian.
And then, movie about Hawaiian culture, they come to Hawaii, it's all there, and then he's written this wonderful Hawaiian character, and then Emma Stone shows up.
I'm confused.
Yeah, that's a little nuts. I agree 100%. I just think that, it's a unfortunate misstep. He's apologized.
How did he apologize? That's what I would like to know.
He just sort of went back to. I think he's in general feels that the movie got a bad rap ever since the Sony hack. They got leaked in the Sony hack that the executives were kind of saying what a mess the script and movie was and problems with the movie. And he sort of blames that on the advanced bad press. He also says he feels a little misunderstood here.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, he completely understands where people are coming from, and he apologizes he said Ng was written to be a super proud 1/4 Hawaiian who was frustrated by her outward appearances. She had a half Chinese father. It was meant to be sort of a surprising mix of cultures. That's in Hawaii. So what he's saying is he has a half Chinese father, and another da da. She grew up in Hawaii. He's trying to represent this weird sort of cultural melting pot mix.
So do that.
Right.
Do that.
There's plenty of people.
That's what you're trying to do. Exactly. And so reading his letter of apology.
Jessica Alba. I don't know if that's anybody.
Reading his letter. I think he eloquently, his apology was eloquent. He said the right things, but come on, man. The dude's just smart enough to understand that we are in a time where people are seeking to be represented through all different forms of industries and institutions, and to create a movie that's about Hawaiian culture, or and then you say you want to showcase diversity, but then it's not diverse. Like, come on, you know what you're doing. So your apology really doesn't mean anything.
See,
I mean, Janelle Parrish, she's Hawaiian. Like Olivia Munn, she's Olivia Munn would be perfect. I know, and I love, and it sucks. I love Emma Stone, but I don't know. Go ahead.
See, well, the funny thing is, at first, before you said that she was half Chinese or part Chinese, I was going to say that I actually know a lot of people who were, who were born in Hawaii. Their parents were born in Hawaii, but their descendants, it's white. Like my best friend from Hawaii, who's lived there all her life, her parents and her grandparents, they're white. They're the white. They got made fun of. There's an actual slang for people who were. Born here, or I'm sorry, born in Hawaii and are white. They're called Haoles, and it's a thing. So that's what I thought that she was, that maybe she was in that whole frame. But the fact that you said she was Chinese, I was like, okay, maybe we went a little too far. But that's where I wanted to at least defend him on that, was the fact of I know a lot of people who are white and are technically Hawaiian because they've been born there and their parents and all the other kind of stuff. But I don't know.
I'm not saying that what he described or what he wrote is not possible to have on the island. I think that the larger issue is what Akili articulated about, you know, it's the age old thing of making a movie about in and about a culture and not including a culture. Like you saw this all the time.
I completely agree with you.
I mean this was the favorite thing in the late 80s through 90s of the, you know, and God bless everyone who were doing this, but all these civil rights movies like Mississippi Burning being the biggest offender, mm-hmm. great movie, a movie about the civil rights movement, about you know, what happened back in Mississippi, mm-hmm. about what happened, but every black character, I think there's like one speaking part of a black character in that movie. Yeah. They're all like cardboard cutouts in the background. We're all back there while Gene Hackman and mm-hmm. you know, Willem Dafoe were the big heroes saving black folks. And there's a ton of movies like that when it's so easy to hire and cast some black actors to sort of represent the culture that you're trying to, you know, make palatable to white audiences. And absolutely. So it's like, you know, it's okay that you want to show a culture and like make it, you know, available to the mainstream or make it palatable to white audiences, but you can still include the culture while you're doing that.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Yeah.
And my last note, I think that the audience, the viewer, like it's about your psychology, your psychological health and if how you see yourself on screen or in media, that determines a lot of how you see yourself, your identity. Right. And if you're only seeing yourself in a way that's not yourself or a negative version of yourself,
right,
like that's a huge problem. And so, I mean, I think from the person that's living in Hawaii, when they look at this movie, they're like, yo, this is not me, dog. Right. Like, this mm-hmm. does not represent me.
It's like, thanks, Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but okay, so we'll move on. Speaking of Asians.
Oh, dear.
How about that segue? My man, Gene, for that racially sensitive segue.
Woohoo!
My man, James Wan, is going to direct the new Aquaman movie, which...
looks so cool.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. I'm so on the fence on this. I've gone on record saying I'm a DC guy. I'm a DC person. So yes. That's who I've been. I've obviously loved the Marvel Universe. Loved the movies. I don't know, and I love what Christopher Nolan has done with the Batman franchise. The first two were amazing. The last one. The last one was, you know, had some problems, but mm-hmm. you know, Bane was amazing. I'm not so sure about Zack Snyder. They've handed the reins over to Zack Snyder as the all-knowing guy who's in control of the whole DC universe, and I'm not quite sure he's the guy. Okay. I'm just saying that. I mean,
fair.
Why? Why? You gotta give me a point.
Well, because okay, number one, I'm not. Zack Snyder's work, just his body of work, aside from 300, which was amazing, aside from Watchmen, which I also think was amazing. I think he's like 50% on his movies. You know, I think he's a comic book guy.
He's a hit or miss type.
I think he has a very very specific aesthetic, which is like sort of like I know he's known in Hollywood as bringing the comic books to life. He brings the graphic novels to life.
Right.
Great. It was wonderful in 300. It was not so good in Sucker Punch. It was wonderful in Watchmen, although it was very complicated. I don't know that I want to see that approach every single time. I think that what he did with Superman was well intentioned. They got some really good things in there, but I also thought it was sort of like devoid of any real emotion.
Mm. And I really agree with you.
There was a lot of stuff, a lot of buildings exploding, a lot of fights, a lot of crap, but I wasn't really happy with it. So the idea that he's doing now Superman versus Batman and the Justice League movie, and he's overseeing everybody and everything with his aesthetic, that doesn't give me, you know, that doesn't make me feel good. Who needs to have it is my man, whose name has escaped me, the EP of the head of DC, in my opinion. The guy who does Flash and Arrow.
Yeah,
and,
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I can't think
and
of
Supergirl,
his name.
And Supergirl, like this guy. Yeah. This guy, like, he completely gets it. Now, he's a TV guy, but he completely gets it. Anyway, all that being said, you know, my man Jason Momoa from a lot of movies, Conan, and, of course, famously Game of Thrones, all the ladies love him. My moon and my stars, or whatever.
Hey, man. I'm all for it.
Everyone I know likes him. He's Aquaman, which I think is a bold choice, because we know Aquaman as a blonde cat, and they're going with the, I think it's the 2000 arc, or maybe it's the late 90s arc.
Yes, they're pretty much just trying to make him, I mean, as much as a lot of people are like, oh, Aquaman's a, well, I can't say that word on here.
You can.
But, you know, he's, did you say you can?
Yeah.
But, like, they're saying that he's a wuss, and that
He's an octopussy.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. But the fact that to be honest, he's literally the Superman of the sea. People don't understand that because they don't read the comics. But in the new 52, they've revamped him as this giant badass king, and that's what he's supposed to be, and that's why they picked him.
They're kind of doing the Thor. He's like the Thor. Yes. They're doing the Thor model, which I was looking at.
What's the Greek goddess? Poseidon.
Yeah, exactly. He's a Poseidon. Yeah. So, and before I want to hear your comments on this, Kitty, but James, and back to my heart from I'm complaining. James Wan, who I like a lot. I wasn't a big Saw fan, but I can respect the work he did there. But I was a huge
Seven.
Wait.
Then you do Fast and Furious?
Yeah. He did. I'm sorry. The movie Seven. I was like, no, it's Fincher.
Oh yeah.
But I was a fan of The Conjuring, which I thought was really well done.
Nope. Honey Bunch is a nope.
Great really? Filmmaking. Oh man, really excited.
No, I don't like horror movies. Okay.
It's very scary. Yes. But great filmmaking, great in camera stuff. I like what he was doing, the in camera stuff. Furious 7, I just give him a passing job with it. He was no
home run?
Well, he's not like my band, my other dude who I'm forgetting.
John Singleton?
No. Jason
I forgot his name too.
Oh my god! But anyway, he's not.
He's not that guy.
Yes, but he's a very capable director. So we'll see what happens. I'm very interested to see how they take with the CGI and the ocean and the. I don't know. What do you?
That's my only take. What's your take? I feel like conceptually it could be dope where we are, what we can do with the film, and you know, I think I look forward to seeing like. I mean, I love the art direction thus far. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, the underworld, really, kind of like literally underworld, underground, under the ocean.
Underwater.
What that ecosystem's looking like with a superhero, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
and I've always tried to figure out, like, and this is the one thing about DC, like, how they figure out ways to get Aquaman involved with the Justice League, because he's in the Justice League,
right?
Yes. So it's like I like to see when they're fighting aliens in space or something. Right. Aquaman's like somehow up there, like
hop out the ocean,
Ocean, or like he's riding a whale, like I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate him as a superhero, like in day to day stuff. So,
for sure.
So that's that. This next thing, I think this is it. Oh, Lexus, do you know anything about Omega Man?
I do. So I know about the old one. I didn't know that they were revamping it. Yeah. So it's written by Tom King. He's done a lot of the Grayson comics for DC. Mm-hmm. So I think.
Oh, I love Grayson.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only comic I'm reading right now.
There you go. So he's also going to be writing this. It's drawn by Barnaby Bengangda, I think is his last name. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that.
It's all right.
But it's pretty much, it's not going to appeal to all readers because the fact that it dives right into conflict, it's kind of, the setup is very little and the explanation, it doesn't do
Spaginda.
That. Yeah. Thank you. The explanations, it doesn't really explain much. So it's an, you know, they have an 8-page preview, I believe, on the DC website, I think that you can download for free. But I just like, I know that the dialogue is going to be really good. It's going to be very killer. And I'm excited for this new comic.
I think it's dope. I think what they're saying is in terms of how they're trying to bring it up to speed in terms of like the social political things that are mm-hmm. happening, and like the, their creative positioning and how they're executing the comic is mm-hmm. different than like say traditional startups.
Yeah.
They're taking more of like a, I guess more of a diverse perspective. Obviously, when a lot of the traditional comics started, it was mostly you know written by white men for white men.
Yeah.
So now like. This comic is more like more of a diverse voice, and is also speaking to like more oppressive things that are happening literally in our society.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of cool.
And I also, it's also definitely not family friendly. It's like it's going to be dark, the same.
Right?
Yeah, it's very dark. It's kind of like The Watchmen.
Yeah.
Kind of influence, so just, you know, obviously I know kids are probably going to read them anyway, it's not suggested, but it's a very heavy sci-fi, dark comic book, and if you're into that, you should read it.
And it's also saying that, like, I guess traditionally most comic books, obviously, you know, their lifeline is keeping the story going forever and forever. But he was saying how they're structuring this comic, it has a specific beginning, middle, and end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that after it comes to that end, they'll revamp it again, or they'll add a different angle to it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think that interests me in terms of like being strung along for decades with the story.
Yes.
Like, just give me a story that begins, has a middle, plot, and ends, and then boom, mm-hmm. like, okay, give me something new. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can
I agree with that 100%.
I have one more thing I wanted to talk about.
Talk about it.
It's a big thing that came out this week, which I'm going to play the trailer for you.
Oh, trailers.
It's Fallout 4.
Oh, so Fallout 4.
Everybody is super into this video game. I'm also into it as well. I haven't played the last Fallout in a really long time, but
I only played Fallout 1, and I really liked it.
Yes. So Fallout 4 is definitely picking up from that. The graphics are fantastic.
Yeah,
so
it looks beautiful.
So I'm not going to play the sound just, you know, for copyright issues, but
I've seen the trailer. It's an old-timey kind of like, just like, it's all the Fallout trailer is very similar. It's like the sort of old-timey mix of it's in like an old future. So it's very like very, very much like a Tomorrowland style future.
So I'm very excited to see it. A lot of people they've already put out like it is going to be on PC, PS4, and Xbox One for sure.
Yes.
I believe that they've already put out a bunch of HD like screenshots of the gameplay, which we're already kind of seeing in the trailer here as well. It just looks like a really good game. Fallout has always the fans have always been pretty big about it, and that's why they decided to bring out another sequel for it.
Why don't you describe Fallout in terms of the gameplay? Because I know it's a heavy mix of RPG. The reason why I don't get into it because I'm not huge on the RPG. I don't have the patience for the true RPG style games.
Yeah,
I just like to shoot shit.
That's the main thing. I like to say it's like kind of like
collecting going to the guy and purchasing something, and then going to the other guy, and then like you know buying bullets and then.
It's pretty much just like I don't even know how to like completely describe it, but it's pretty much like if you play Borderlands, that's mostly a shooting game, but there is a story. This is more heavy of a story, but you still get to shoot stuff and do things. So it's like The Last of Us and how it is now, but with better graphics. It's the same post-apocalyptic kind of thing with a little bit of zombies, but. I just like the
world is amazing.
Yeah, the lore is awesome.
They did a great job of creating this world, and I think that it's definitely movie ready. I think they've really done a great job with the stuff.
Which they've talked about, but I don't know if that's actually going
to
happen.
It's just kind of hard. It's hard to reinvent the post-apocalyptic movie, you know, like especially with Mad Max and other things.
I definitely know that when E3 comes around, they're definitely going to be talking more about that. There's going to be some other special stuff they're going to be showing at the press for sure. E3.
Well, we will be at E3. Keely and I will be at E3 for sure.
And they're leaving Alexis in the booth.
Well, you know.
I'm just kidding, guys.
I'm sorry. It's a thing.
It's okay.
But we'll be there, and I'm gonna for sure be at media at the announcement day. Keely's trying to skip that, but I'm trying to go. I'm trying to see everything, all the announcements, all the boring presentations. But I mean, look at the Xbox One 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when they brought the Beatles,
really,
and then they gave out Xboxes.
Okay.
And I was like, yay!
Okay.
So, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, you're right. I could miss the Oprah moment. You're right.
Oprah moment.
They give out games. They give out everything anyway.
Will you guys at least bring me something back?
We will definitely bring you back a goodie bag, Alexis, for sure.
Goodie bag.
And we'll definitely have a full report. We're going to do a little E3 show as well.
Before we go, I wanted to give a shout out to someone who actually talked to us or talked to me in the chat, Ezekiel the Mac. Apparently, he said that he's a big fan. He's from the UK, mostly of Jamaican percentage, is what he said.
Oh, yeah.
Or parentage, excuse me. But I wanted to give a shout out to him for thank you for watching and hanging out with us and watching all the time.
Ezekiel the Mac.
Mac
it out. Thanks for listening and watching, Ezekiel. I think that's all I got. That's all we got, right?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to, besides E3, you want to talk about?
I think, let me see. It's June, and I still have yet to receive a game.
No.
Halo.
I have a game coming for you.
Oh, okay.
So you will have. I'm not saying it's a surprise. You have an Xbox One, correct?
I do.
Yes, I will have something for you. No worries. It'll be there next Friday.
I'll have something for him too. So
okay, we'll bring them both.
But I'll make sure we're not bringing the same thing.
Okay, fine. I'll talk to you later.
We'll talk off mic. I guess that's it. That's all we got. Alexis, where can the beautiful people find you?
You can find me all over the interwebs and where all Alexis Torreses are sold at atorres890. Also, follow me on my vlogs that I usually do weekly. I usually do them on Wednesday. I call them the Hump Day Vlogs. And also on AfterBuzz, our sister network, which is also awesome. If you love TV shows and love to recap them, so do we. So please come hang out with us and check us out on AfterBuzzTV.com.
Yeah, so Keely Shine?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Keely Shine. And you can find me in these streets.
Oh!
What about you, bro?
Wow.
I don't know. You can't find me in these streets these days. I don't know. You can't really find me. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and I think Periscope. I'm obsessed with Periscope. Instagram, Twitter, and Periscope at Joe K. Braswell. Also on our sister network, AfterBuzz, doing the Hannibal AfterBuzz after
you
show. Scope. Don't say scope.
That's weird. I don't like it.
I guess I'm scoping.
Ew. Get out of here.
Anyway, find us on the sister network, a sister AfterBuzz network, doing the Hannibal after show and also the True Detective after show coming up on June 21st. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.